Okay, the special SDR meeting has been called in light of a letter of offer from the Department of Economy. I'll restart that. I would like to welcome everyone to the meeting, and hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Members of the public should remain seated throughout the meeting and should not speak. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure, if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. Members should ensure their cameras are switched on when speaking. Cameras should also be switched on when a vote is being taken. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question. Type P if you wish to propose. Type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. In the event that two councillors propose at the same time, the person who proposed first will be taken as the proposer and the person who proposed second will be recorded as the seconder. Okay, are there any apologies? Apologies from Councillor McAvoy. Item two, any declarations of interest? Item three is the flood relief scheme, and that's been heard in open session. And I'll pass over.
Thanks, Chair. The report you have in front of you sets out the details included in the letter of offer that the Council has received from the Department for the Economy in respect of the enhanced flood support scheme. And detail is included in the report, as I said, of both the Part A and Part B of the flood enhanced scheme. And in addition, a hardship scheme has also been proposed by the department, of which we have just received details over the weekend. It would be our intention to proceed on the basis of what's detailed in the report with respect to the hardship scheme in the coming weeks when we have had a chance to develop an application process and the guidance notes. I think it's important to note that we will manage the application process for these schemes on behalf of all councils through our grants funding software, and we will be also responsible as the contracting authority for the procurement of a loss assessor who will independently review and assess the submitted applications in respect of Part A and Part B of the enhanced flood scheme. So the recommendations are set out in section 3.1 to 3.4 of the report, and I'm happy to take any questions members have.
Okay, there's a proposer in from Councillor Lewis and Councillor O'Hanlon. You have a comment? Councillor Lewis, you want to comment as well? I see you're proposing.
Sorry, Chair. Yes. Thank you very much. It was just to welcome the delivery of the scheme and to thank the council staff and the council officers for the work that went on at the time of the flooding, that they were now starting to see how important that work was. They were working away in the background, setting out and laying the groundwork for this type of thing, and it's now good that it's coming forward, and that the traders in down Patrick are getting help and getting additional help. I, like other councillors and councillors and elected reps was on the ground in Downpatrick at the week of that flooding, and there are still shops and businesses that are directly affected, having to close and having to move to new locations and new premises. It was the first ask how soon we can get this this out. What will be the general time scale around the delivery of the scheme, and when can people actually expect to start receiving this funding? And then secondly, if there is any additional funding, has the council give any thought or consideration to a number of reports of sports clubs which were also hit that time? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Hanlon.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I'm happy to second the paper that's in front of us. And I think a word of thanks does need to go to the council officials and Minister Conor Murphy, who've worked hand in hand with the Department of Economy officials to try and make this scheme as flexible and widely open to as many people as possible. You know, I think it's clear that the council and the department have listened to the voices of local businesses, and they acted quickly. Well, some may say not quickly, but given that we just had a minister into place, they've acted quickly to access the funding and support after what has been a very, very challenging time for businesses. So it will come as a huge relief for business owners in Downpatrick and Newry, and it will begin to assist them to restore their premises and continue to open their doors. They've demonstrated huge resilience in the face of the huge challenges that the flooding has presented to them. I think now what council need to do is work diligently and proactively to ensure that the applications are processed efficiently and to provide support as much as they can to the businesses. I've no doubt that the council team will be well able to do that and that they will be there to listen. I suppose touching on Councillor Lewis's point around the additional funding, there have been sports clubs who have been affected, and I would call on the Department of Communities and the Community Minister to have a look at that and see if there's any funding could be provided to the sports clubs to help them to get over their the impact of the flooding. And also, again, there's still residents who have been left behind in the midst of all the flooding, particularly in Newry, and I know my colleague Liz Cummins has been championing that in the Assembly as well, so it's worth noting here this evening. A couple of questions in terms of how this will roll out. Obviously, it's going live tomorrow. So where will businesses be able to access the information that they need in order to apply? And will there be any wraparound support in terms of for potential like workshops or something similar maybe to what was held when the first tranche of funding came out? I know that was very positively received by businesses, and it's something that has been, you know, muted to me over the last couple of days, you know, with the imminency of this coming out, that, you know, the likes opening up the Arts Centre in Newry, that worked very, very well, and they liked having to be able to go in and talk to somebody face-to-face. So is there any plans to do that?
Thank you. Councillor McMurray, you have a comment?
Yeah, Chair, no, I will be brief because it's just, well, it is good to see, and it's a lot of work's gone into it, and it'll bring some relief. My comment actually is just I can't seem to access the paper, so I can't actually, or the council reports. I'm not sure if that's because of I'm not an SPNR member or not, but just if someone could let me know, or just a perfect thank you.
I'm Chair, just to respond to the first couple of questions, and the time frames, first of all, from Councillor Lewis, it opens tomorrow, as we have said, on the 27th, and it will close on the 22nd of March. We will be, however, processing applications as they are submitted. We'll not wait until the 22nd of March and then start to look at them. So as they are submitted, we will be opening them and assessing them and passing them on to the loss assessor when they're appointed. So that's to ensure that there's no delay in the processing and assessments. We will, however, have to collate them all together before we start issuing letters of offer to ensure we don't exceed the limit of the grant fund that's set out in the recommendations under resources within the report. With respect to sports clubs, and I think the department are aware of the issues in, around sports clubs, and they have been engaging and have passed that on and raised that with the Department for the Communities who are responsible for sports. As I say, it rolls out tomorrow. It'll be online. We will issue a statement in the press, and it will be live on our website within our grants and funding page. We will also issue the details on how businesses can access the application process through our social media platforms, and it will be done within, using the same system as we use for our financial assistance. I take on board the comments around workshops and how we get information to businesses to try and help them through the process. It's something that we will look to facilitate and put together some proposals for hopefully next week to engage with businesses who want to have a, like a drop-in, maybe a morning in Downpatrick or maybe a morning in Newry. So as we are there and that face-to-face contact is available. So I think that's the two questions that I guess at the minute.
Councillor Sharvin, you have a question?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And I suppose just the further clarity there, Connor. So are we launching everything tomorrow? So this enhanced up to 100,000 and the hardship schemes, you know, the 5,000 and the 2,500, are they all going live tomorrow for applications? Chair, I suppose that there's a lot of unknownness, and I think the guidance that we issue with this process is vitally important. I do know I highlighted it during the previous process to environmental health, and I've highlighted to the Connolly Department within Council as well. There is businesses that are within businesses. You know, they sublet a space within a unit, and that sublet is clearly not got a rates bill. And I do take note under the hardship schemes that they will be eligible for something. But I think it's really important that as part of any issue of this being launched, that those guidance notes are very clear on which hardship scheme that they will be eligible for. I also think that, you know, I can think more locally in Downpatrick, the likes of Pally Flynn's Garage, you know, you've the wrap and roll. You've got the walk-in who weren't flooded, but they were not able to access it. But, Chair, I think also, again, the guidance needs to be around the insurance clarity as well. You know, this report, I've only been able to see because I was in audit before that, and before that I was in Clock and Stratford Regeneration. So I've not had time to read this report even before this meeting. And there's probably some answers in it to that I am asking, but again, it's not very clear. If insurance paid out, but they only paid to a certain level, not the full amount of the insurance claim, you know, we need to be clear on what is eligible and what not eligible. If the insurance says that you were not covered, I understand they are covered for this. I think also the additional thing that needs to be noted that 100,000 won't touch the edges for some of the businesses that were drastically impacted as part of this flooding. And, you know, they may not open still or they will be out at a loss. And we as a council need to consider what future works we can do to enable that. But, yeah, I think vitally important that we do issue guidance, but it's very much needed. You know, Downpatrick is crippled still. You know, people are still trying to get their businesses back up and running and open. And I do take note about the response to the sports club. I think we're all referring to the cricket club. in this scenario. I do take note that Connor has passed that to the Department for Communities. The Journey Church, they are obviously a church. Are they eligible for the hardship scheme? They're not an SME, but they are a church. Yes, sorry, Chair. I see there's a lot of muttering up there. I don't know if it's in reference to something I say.
Yes, Chair, I suppose just to be clear, we wouldn't be getting into individual cases, and I know the councillor's probably just mentioning one for but we wouldn't be answering questions like that in an open
I suppose I'm not mentioning individual cases. It's is a church eligible? Is a sports club eligible? So it's not necessarily saying those individual
groups. It's just that you've named a number of individual cases.
As examples.
Maybe, Chair, if I can pick up and respond. First of all, this is a scheme that's been funded by DfE, and we are delivering, and they're delivering on the parameters that they have set for us as a council through a letter of offer and through eligibility criteria on how we manage and administer the scheme. And they will provide, they have provided within the guidance notes areas of what evidence we should expect to see to support an application for each of the eligibility criteria. Them guidance notes have just been finalised now, and they'll be released with the enhanced scheme tomorrow at 12 noon. And they're fairly detailed, and we believe that they provide great advice and guidance to both applicants and us as a council who will be assessing the returns. In addition, we will be appointing, as I said, a professional loss assessor company to actually look into the detail around insurance issues, and looking at the valuations that are presented and providing reports, making recommendations on what payments are due based on the eligibility criteria. The enhanced scheme will open tomorrow. The what's the other scheme called? Is that many schemes? The two hardship schemes. As I said, we only received the letter of offer on Saturday. We are developing the application form at the minute, and we're awaiting the guidance notes to support that up them two schemes as well. We hope to have them launched as quickly as we possibly can. I wouldn't want to put a date on it because there's so many unknowns around trying to deal with the complexities that you have quite rightly raised tonight in the chamber. So it's something that we're working through. But at this minute, the focus will be getting the enhanced scheme out tomorrow, getting the guidance notes issued with that, getting workshops so as we can sort the businesses. But each individual application will be considered in its own right. And I wouldn't want to be second-guessing or providing advice and guidance on a potential application without having the information to support it in our hands. So, as I say, hopefully the guidance notes will provide the detail that's required.
Councillor McAteary, you have a question.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Yeah, maybe I'll begin by saying, look, I say it's not reflective of council staff or council officers. This is not a council scheme. That's what we say it publicly. But I do have severe reservations about the amount of money that's been offered. Certainly, it's good news for some, but it's derisory, some for others. Because I know of cases in Uri, and you're talking here about a return to business cost of between a quarter of a million and half a million. That's the reality of it, and that's what's happening. And so I'm deeply disappointed that we're talking about 100,000 here, and someone got 7,500. So it's a lot to look at it at all. Certainly good news for some of the smaller hits. So there's a problem there. Again, the message I'm getting from those businesses is about time factor. I see we're going down the road now of procurement. We see 12 weeks here. May not take that long, but there's a process to be followed. Very disappointed that hasn't. We're looking, and I said this at the time, that happened October, November. We're now 4 months down the line, and we're starting into our procurement processes. Somebody should have thought of this, that this may have been required down the line when it muted that the Department of Economy would be delivering something like this through councils. There's a particular problem with the businesses who haven't been able to return to their original premises. They're facing ongoing additional rental costs that will not be factored in. So they have a severe problem, again, of staying afloat until we manage to get out to them. My question for them on their behalf is there a plan to prioritise those who are waiting to return their original premises? So, and Connor, you said you will immediately assess applications as they are received, but by the same token, we still have to wait until somebody is appointed to go out, presumably to look at the premises, and them to follow a set of rooms, rules as Councillor, or guidance as Councillor Sharvin mentioned, that we don't know anything about. So I sincerely hope that whatever part our council has to play on this, it will be user-friendly in terms of our shop owners and business owners, and that any problems they have will be issued, or sorry, will be sorted out immediately with the Department of Economy. But I certainly view with great concern the way this has been left so long down the road from when it actually happened. And I actually would propose writing to the Minister to say, to look at when we get on the ground and see what the costs are when the guidance is printed or published, and go back and have a look at those cases again where I'm talking about those quite considerable sums of money. Sure.
All right, was there a question there?
There was a question. Who's going to do something about this?
I think we pick up a question around procurement. The need for an assessor, a loss assessor, was only determined once the project had and the actual fund had been developed and detailed, and we understood what eligibility criteria was required. Now that's working in partnership with the department to establish the project. We have already met last week in advance of this to progress the procurement of the loss assessor, and CPD are actually going to facilitate that process by engaging through a Crown Commercial Services framework. Only today we have shared the specification for them documents, and we hope to have that released by the end of this week. So we're confident that we will have gone to the market by the end of this week, hopefully. If the market responds, and that's what's outside of our control, if the market responds, then we would hope to have someone in place before the scheme closes on the 22nd of March. That's the plan. But as I say, some of these matters are outside of our control. The issues you raise around the quantum of the fund is not a matter for the council.
No, that's true. And Chair, you're asking about the questions. I asked a specific question. Is there a plan, and will there be a plan, to prioritise those businesses that want to return to the original premises? Because they are the ones that stand out a mile from others.
Yeah, applications will be processed as they're received. Within the eligibility criteria or the guidance notes, there is no prioritisation of one business over another.
So those are going to be hung out to dry by the department. That's the reality of this. If we're not saying, if those folk aren't saying money for 6 months, there's people trading away, right? They've suffered their loss. All the traders are hit by dual costs of rent, property that they're in, and then the loss of business from the original premises. There's a severe problem here, folks. Please answer.
Yeah, as I say, we're assessing them as they're received, and payments will be made as soon as possible. As soon as we get an instruction to make the payment, we will make it.
But I'm asking for those businesses to be prioritised, those that haven't been referred.
We'll raise it with the department.
And I made a proposal to write to the Minister to ask about the sum of £100,000, not... Is it sufficient to cover the losses of those premises that have been between £250,000 and £500,000, as I understand? Sorry? Proposal is, yes, the right to the Minister to... Sorry? Well, I mean, if you want to put it in writing, I can't. It's very, very simple. It's just a simple request saying, ask the Minister to look again at the £100,000 ceiling, in that I understand as a public representative that the money's... Bird and the
do
damage costs.
Yeah.
That's the gist of a letter. So proposal is that we ask to be looked at. Okay, this will be up to the end of the meeting, and I will have it right.
Okay, we'll move on then. Councillor Riley, you had a question.
Yes, thanks very much, Madam Chair. Obviously, very much welcome the scheme, and I would like to thank our MLA, Diane Forsyth, for the really tenacious work she's done on this issue. But does the assessor, the loss assessor, will that go out to some form of tendering process as to who's going to be the loss assessor? And will there be an appeal mechanism within the process for businesses who feel maybe that they're getting shortchanged? And then a lot of the questions I was going to ask have already been asked and answered by councillors. So I'm not going to waste your time. But could I ask, is there any sort of ballpark estimate done on the anticipated amount of claim that will be submitted? And what is the estimated amount of grant aid that is available to cover the claims? If you can't answer that now, don't worry, but it's just something that I would like to try and get my head around. And as I say, it was mainly Newry and Downpatrick that were very badly affected for the traders, but there are small elements within Kilkeel and other areas also that we'll need to keep on board. Thanks very much, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Taylor, you have a question?
Yeah, Chair, thanks. Like other councillors, welcome the contents of this report and the additional support that's been provided. But again, similar to a similar question to what others have asked in terms of the community organisations that have been affected, and Newry is a prime example to me. The number of churches have obviously been directly affected by the consequences of the flooding, and the number of community halls, including the local Scout Hall and local Masonic Hall. Without getting into too many specifics, has the council made any representations to the departments potentially that could be responsible for providing similar support that we're seeing from the Department of Economy here for those types of organisations? Because they're encountering their own problems. They're obviously dependent on voluntary subscriptions to keep obviously the cost of overheads covered, and they find themselves in a situation where obviously they're having to use alternative premises at the moment. That comes at a cost as well, because their own premises isn't able to be used, waiting on maybe insurance potentially to be paid out. And again, there's queries with insurance companies about what happened. So as a council, have we made any direct representations to other departments that could potentially cover this? And again, there's landowners as well that I've been engaging with that have been affected by this as well, that have seen their fields and badly damaged as a result of what happened during that period. So the likes of DERA, Department for Communities, others, that might be responsible for providing some sort of support, have we as a council engaged with them directly? We can all do it through our own individual parties, I understand that, but certainly from a council point of view, have we made any representations to those particular departments to see if those organisations, as well as businesses, can be provided with some support to get them through the difficulties that they're also enduring as a result of what happened in October, November time with flooding.
Thank you. Councillor Mathers, you have a comment as well.
Thanks, Chair. I also welcome this announcement from my colleague, Conor Murphy, and also commend the Council for administering this scheme. The businesses in Newry and Flurry Bridge that we have been assisting would be happy to see this process moving along as quickly as possible. But again, if problems arise with applications, we'd like to see council officials help resolve these issues if and when they arise. Thanks, Chair.
And we'll take the last question from Councillor Bowsey, please.
Can premises that didn't apply or weren't eligible for the first phase of council support still apply? And I take it that premises outside Downpatrick and Newry can apply. For example, parts of Crossgar were badly flooded. And lastly, Councillor Sharvin already touched on it, but could we get some more clarity as to how wide non-domestic premises goes? It sounds quite wide, but I'd want to make sure that a number of public spaces in my DEA would be able to.
Yeah, I can come back just and maybe address a couple of the questions. First from Councillor Riley, the procurement, well, it'll be from a Crown Commercial Services framework. As I said, we're working with CPD and DFP in respect of the specifications for that tender, and we hope to have that in place, as I say, in the coming weeks. The number of applicants we're expecting, it's very difficult to try and anticipate that, so we wouldn't want to try and guess at this stage. Until we're further through the process, we might have to get a better feel in the number of applicants. With respect to other organisations and premises, we believe the hardship scheme has been developed to try and consider those that were impacted by the flooding that sit outside the hardship scheme, or sorry, the enhanced scheme and the original 7,500. And when the guidance notes are produced for that, we hope that that will provide a lot more clarity and detail on who actually is eligible within the hardship schemes. We have been engaging across all departments in respect of the impacts of this flooding, and DERA are aware of the issues and they're having consideration around what they may look at introducing to try and support businesses' impact. As I say, there has been engagement through DfE towards DfC in respect of sports clubs, but we will continue to engage with the departments and all departments and make them aware of the issues that are raised here by members and issues that are raised directly with us from both the communities and the businesses. So I hope that answers all the questions. I'm sorry, Councillor Bowsey, just in respect of those who weren't eligible previously, the scheme will be an open scheme again, so we're aware that there may be people who may feel that they're now eligible due to some of the tweaks in the eligibility criteria for the enhanced scheme. And there's no geographical restriction because we have people from Crossgar who were eligible and were paid out on the 7.5 scheme, as well as in Kilkeel as well. So it's across the district.
Thank you.
Councillor McAteer, can I just double check with you, please, that what you're proposing is a separate matter? You're not asking the flood relief scheme to be held up on this?
Absolutely not, Chair. No.
Yes, we can take the original proposer as Councillor Lewis and seconded by Councillor Hanlon and deal with what you have suggested separately. A comment from Councillor Truesdale.
Thank you, Chair. Councillor Riley had also asked if there was an appeal mechanism in place. I don't think that was answered.
Apologies, members. That's one that slipped my mind. Yes, there will be an appeals process. It'll be similar to the appeals process that exists for the financial assistance process that's run through the council. However, we're in discussions with the department around how appeals to the quantum that's recommended by the loss assessor will be managed, but that hasn't been finalised yet.
Thank you.
Councillor McAteer, you need a seconder.
I do indeed, Chair. Sure. You're welcome to second.
I'm happy to second it, Chair.
Councillor Finn is not a member.
Yeah, I'm happy to second.
Everyone in agreement on Councillor McAteer's proposal?
Yes.
Item 4 then is the Forest Park car parking charges. And Councillor Hanlon, you have a comment.
Chair. We had asked to put this on as a late item, and thanks to yourself and Josephine for facilitating that. Really, given the amount of workshops that went on and the amount of discussion that's gone on, I think we're dealing with car parking charges and Forest Park since way before even I was in council in 2019. But we just wanted to put on record and to note that the communication wasn't great last week, that we were, I think as elected members, we were shocked by coming out on Facebook because we didn't realise, that it was going to be announced in the way it was. And the communication in terms of letting residents understand what the actual proposal was. We had many, many calls over the weekend where people were misinterpreting what was going out on social media and in the print and press media as well. They weren't aware that the residents could avail of the free pass to a park of their choice. And it just created so many queries that we as a party came together to discuss, how it was being handled. What we would put a request in for is that there is, I suppose you could call it an amnesty, and looking at how we actually manage this being rolled out, that we give people time to actually get to the parks to get the pass of their choice. and that we're not left, for example, over an Easter period whereby people are going up to the parks and they're not really sure, are they being paid, are they paid in, are they going to be free, and really just to allow that to roll out properly, and also to answer all the queries that have been raised by residents and visitors to the district. So we're not saying that we don't want it to roll out, we just think there needs to be a wee bit more time, a wee bit better communication going forward, to allow people to understand what the proposal actually is. And, you know, at the end of the day, we had always said throughout the workshops this was about creating equality across the district to make sure that one side of the district, and I will refer to my own, where in Delamont we were being charged in, and in Slievegullion, for example, you could get in for free. We felt, and it was the agreement of the council, that this gave a fair and equitable way of being able to allow residents to park of their choice, because in general, residents visit one park as a rule, but also then just to consider that equality. So if we could put that forward as a proposal, to maybe hold off to say maybe the middle of April, and just to allow it to bed in and to answer any queries.
Do you have a seconder for that?
Yes, Councillor Mathers will be seconding that.
A point of clarity, sorry, Chair, just on the proposal. The amnesty that Councillor Hammond's talking about, does that mean that Delmont is free for everyone, or does the existing forest parks that are currently charging continue to charge as they did before this new proposal?
Well, in my mind, if you're able to go to Delmont this weekend and say that's the park you want your permit for, then you'll get your permit for Delmont. It's just really the communication that we're talking about, you know, where people thought they were going to be charged into every single park. If you look at some of the media articles that went out, you know, it referenced Castlewell and it referenced Delamont. But sure, we've always paid there, so the inaccuracies are there, where people didn't even know that they were going to be able to get a free pass. So, no, not. I'm just saying that we need to just make sure the communication's there.
Chair, just following that query on the point of clarity, we would suggest that the what exists at this minute would need to continue in its current form until such times as the new date for the implementation has been reached. So therefore, charges would remain where they currently are in place, and where they're not in place, they wouldn't.
Councillor Andrews, you had a comment?
Thanks very much, Chair. And in relation to the developments, I must say I did have constituents in touch with me, but once I mentioned that Delamont would be free to local residents, they literally danced with joy, because that was a bugbear for many of my constituents in Rowellan over the years, that one part of the district was paying, the other part wasn't. But with the proposals and the announcement that was made recently, you know, everybody's on a level playing field now, and you know, we've been a firm supporter of that along, and I'd like to pay tribute to the officers. But I'm just wondering, Una, with the 16th of April, you know, with that new date, I'm just wondering, would people still have to pay charges? I'll ask you to chair, and Colin, you can probably elaborate. If that's the case, then does the new measures not come in then once that date, the 16th of April?
We'll have to pay.
Yes.
Councillor
Rhian,
then.
But a welcome, welcome to the free passes. Thanks. No more
thank you.
Thanks,
Councillor
Rhian. Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just to echo the sentiments of Una, there was a lot of social media activity over the last week and a lot of false information going out. And unfortunately, that created a narrative that I think we as a council maybe failed in getting that message across. And I agree wholeheartedly that we need to push this back until after the Easter period. It's not that far away, and we don't want it to create confusion. Also, we'll have staff members that are trying to implement this, and it'll only create difficulties for them if people don't understand the process in place of how to get their pass or where they get the pass, et cetera, et cetera. We don't need them taking the flak on the ground. There's also numerous questions were coming in. I know I spoke to Connor a number of times last week on that there, but every time you get a response to a question, you end up getting another question. So it just, there is a narrative out there and a lack of information. And I think that time and that space will just allow for people to get their heads around exactly how they get the pass for their designated park and how that there works. And it then gives us, as a council, the time to implement that properly. And also makes it easier for our staff on the ground who have to be the ones at the cold face. So wholeheartedly agree with the proposal that Una has made. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor McAteer, you have a comment?
Yes, please. Yeah, and thank you, Councillor Hanlon, for raising this, because I as well had quite a number of communications over the weekend, phone calls and otherwise. And I visited actually Kilbroney yesterday. I was a wee bit disappointed to think that, or to see that nobody thought really, apart from installing the collection booth, the service booth, to put in a notice actually explaining what had been put out, social media, and the frequently asked questions. It could have been a summary done there, I think would have worked very well, because if you listen this evening to the news on the way down, where we had people interviewed who'd been down to the park this morning and for the customary walk. And again, so they were a bit devoid of information about it. So I thought that a notice there would have been very appropriate. And I would actually ask staff to do that as a matter of urgency, because it looks bad looking where you have the booth in to facilitate it all, but we have no information there for those in preparation of it. And preparation is everything. And, you know, as Councillor Watt said, social media managed to get a take on this all before our communications, the promised communication, which did happen in fairness, but I just think it's a wee bit late. Everything else got ahead of it and did a bit of damage. So that's my last chair, that they put in some information down there in the park, our parks.
Thank you. Okay, Councillor Byrne has a comment in, and Councillor Sharvin, I see. We are running tight on time. We have a meeting very shortly after this. If I could just remind you of that to keep it brief, please. Thank you. Councillor Byrne.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, I'll keep it brief. On the same thread as Councillor Hannan, we asked at the previous workshop, I actually put forward a proposal at the previous workshop around communications being absolutely key in this, and there was full party support that we would have signs up at all the forest parks saying, get your free pass before the charges come in. So when people were going to the forest parks over a period of weeks before it came in, they would see that, avail of the free pass before it came in. Why has that not happened? Because we agreed that at the last meeting, and then we wouldn't have had this miscommunication. I was tagged in one of the posts in Restrever for some reason over the weekend, and it was chaos. Some of the messages were coming out, and the part of the scheme, the free pass, was completely left out. People thought they were being charged for all the parks. So that's a failure of communication. I would ask that we go back to the minutes of the previous meeting where we discussed this. Have the signs up in the parks before the kiosks were built. Get your free pass. Charges coming in on a certain date. So that gives people space to prepare. And it actually drives the narrative that the free pass is the main thing about this scheme, rather than the charging being the main story. So I just ask officers why that didn't happen when we had full political support for it. And can it happen if Councillor Hanlon's asking for it to be pushed back, can those signs go up in the parks to point people to the free pass and make that the main focal point before charges come in?
Thank you. Councillor Sharvin, you have a comment?
Yeah, Chair, thanks. And look, I take on board the concerns and matters, particularly for those that haven't been charged over the term of this new council. But if the officer is saying that the charges for Delmont need to remain and they cannot be given the amnesty that has been mentioned, I certainly couldn't support this, because the whole point of the Forest Park's charges being reviewed is to bring equality across the district. And I take point that, you know, it's not that far away. It's over 7 weeks. We have St. Patrick's Day, we've got Good Friday, we've Easter Monday, really big events that families come together to Delmont. So if the charges can't be dropped as they are, and the same platform isn't given to all forest parks, I certainly won't be supporting it.
Thank you, Councillor Hanlon.
just to be clear, I'm saying that you're given more time for the passes to be issued. You can still go to the Forest Park and get your free pass up until this, but it's just given more time that there would be an amnesty. So you can still go to Delamont and get your free pass if that's the park of your choice. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, I think you're right to say that residents can access their free pass, but the implementation date of the new scheme, i.e. where permits will be in effect in Delamont and Castle Welland, would have to be the same date that the permits and the charging comes into effect in Kilbroney and Slieve Gullion. It's not possible to operate two different schemes in the interim. All we're doing now, the proposal that's in front of us, is to delay the date of the implementation of the scheme, not to introduce another scheme in Delamont and Castle Welland in the interim as well.
If I can come back on that, the reason we are where we are is because the communication was so bad, and Councillor Byrne is quite right. He sat in all the workshops, as did I, and we did talk about signage and we talked about, you know, how we were going to implement this, but it hasn't been done. So now we are where we are, that we have to give a wee bit more time to allow it to roll out properly. Otherwise, I believe our staff are going to be under major pressure whenever residents and tourists and visitors rock up to the parks and they're not really sure about what the parking structure actually is. I think if we look at the extension, we're looking at like 2 weeks, because initially it was the 31st of March. So we're looking at possibly just letting Easter get over, and then we'll be into the second week in April. And as for this part of the district, I do not want them to be charged any more than they have, but we are where we are with this, and it has been handled badly, which is why we wanted to put it on the agenda this evening to try and get it sorted out right across the district.
Councillor McAteer, you have a question?
Really, just clarification from Una about the wording of that would lead some people who haven't been informed well, is that there was some sort of a closing date. So therefore, the rollout is extended to April as if it was closing in March, which is actually giving more wrong information. But could I also ask the officers to do a point of clarification on the information they put out, because someone contacted me this morning saying that your pass will only last to March 25, which we know, you know, we should be able to say, you know, it can be renewed on a yearly basis. But the impression they got was, oh, this is a trial period, and after 25, we may be charging you, which wasn't the intent at the meetings that I was at, as well as you. Yeah. So, now, having said that, you know, most things that develop, it was a question and answer, frequently asked question forum that was in. So people, things do take on a life of themselves, a frequently asked question forum. So we can add that to it, a point of clarification, that it is, there'll be a trial period of 6 months, but that your pass will be valid for a year and can be renewed after that. We may have decided to do some different things, of course, after the 6 months is up.
Yeah, and maybe as a compromise, members, the approach may be to delay, yes, until the after Easter, as the proposal sets out, and not commence charging in Slieve Gullion and Kilbroney until that date. However, if anyone has managed to get to Delamont or Castle Welland and secured their pass, that they can use their pass from the date that they secure it, and that may be before the date that the scheme is implemented in full. So that's a proposal that maybe is a compromise. But if you arrive to Delamont or Castle Welland and you haven't secured your pass, you would be charged.
I think that's okay, as long as the communication goes out to let people know they can go to the park of their choice and get their pass. That would work, I think. I don't know what Councillor Sharvin, I know you've almost a counter proposal in. What do you think about that? Because it seems to be the dissent is coming from that side of the chamber.
Well, maybe a sole voice of dissent rather than the side. But I suppose whenever you're trying to speak up for your side of the district, that maybe comes across wrong to some. But to Connor, you saying then that for, say, me, for example, as a resident, if I was to go to Delmont before the second week of April, ask for a pass, I would be issued the pass on the day and would be able to access it for free, or would I not be able to get it issued and have to pay on arrival?
Yeah, that would be correct. We intend issuing passes to residents from next week.
That's fine.
Can I maybe just add to that, if we select a date of, say, for example, the 22nd of April to implement the scheme in full, we will actively work between now and then to improve communications. We will develop further frequently asked questions based on the concerns that have been raised over the last week, and we will erect signage across all our sites in the next 2 to 3 weeks to fully alert and make visitors to all our parks aware of what the plans are, what the implementation date is, and how they can access their free pass.
Councillor McMurray, you wanted to make a comment?
Yeah, Chair. No, I'll be brief. Just conscious I'm not a member of this committee, so thank you for letting me in. But just how will what is agreed here be communicated? Just because I know there's been a lot of to and fro, and it is just trying to keep up with things here, if that makes sense. Just if that can be communicated via email, just sort of a bullet point clarification. And that'd be great, but I've certainly no issues with the sort of the deferral. For certainly from memory, I remember in the handover, so to speak, with Castlewell and Forest Park, there seemed to be a bit of a charge in amnesty as well. So I mean, I have no problem in principle with that. I can't imagine our party would either. But it's just trying to get clarity of what the direction is coming out of this. Just because I'm aware there's been quite a to and fro, which is great, but just.
Yeah, I think, Councillor, for respect to the record of the meeting, that'll be recorded in the minutes and it'll be shared on what's discussed and what's agreed in the meeting. What we've agreed to implement, we will communicate out as a council through our social media channels and other means, and we will provide information boards at each of the sites. So as members of the public and residents and other visitors to our sites across all four, will be aware of what the plan date is for implementation and how they can access a free pass or an enhanced pass, or for external visitors from outside the district, how they can buy a pass for themselves.
Okay, so I'm taking that as proposed by Councillor Hanlon and seconded by Councillor Mathers. I see that Councillor Lee Sergener has a question in. We are running out of time here. It would need to be 30 seconds.
Yeah, quick question. Basically, the setup for residents getting the pass, will there be one queue for visitors and one queue for residents getting the pass? Thanks.
The passes will be available at the offices within each of the forest parks, so they'll be able to access them through the office. But if this is happening before the scheme is implemented, we think it should be easy enough managed. But we will address any issues that arise if there is a big influx of people wanting to come and get a pass.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. That brings us to the end. Thank you, everybody. We'll start the next meeting at 6:15.